नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय स्वाभिर्वराहोऽस्त्राकराय शमस्तुता पुरुषापाशु न यत्कारणपतोपेतो जातु नाम गताग्रजा स्वाभिर्वराहोऽस्त्राकराय संस्तुता पुरुषापाशु न यत्कारणपतोपेतो जातु नाम गताग्रजा स्वभेद्वदाहोऽस्त्राकराय संस्तुता पुरुषापाशु न यत्कारणपतोपेतो जातु नाम गताग्रजः
Vitvaraha, the village hog who eats stool. Ushtra, the camel. Karai, and by the asses. Samstuta, perfectly praised. Purusha, a person. Pashu, animal. Na, never. Yat, of him. Karna, ear. Patha, path. Upeta, reached. Jatu, at any time. Nam, the holy name. Gadagraja, Lord Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, Praise those men who never listened to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The general mass of people, unless they are trained systematically for a higher standard of life and spiritual values, are no better than animals. And in this verse, they have particularly been put on the level of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Modern university education practically prepares one to acquire a doggish mentality with which to accept the service of a greater master. After finishing a so-called education, these so-called educated persons move like dogs from door to door with applications for some service, and mostly they are driven away, informed of no vacancy. As dogs are negligible animals and serve the master faithfully for bits of bread, a man serves a master faithfully without sufficient rewards. Persons who have no discrimination in the matter of foodstuff and who eat all sorts of rubbish are compared to hogs. Hogs are very much attached to eating stools. So stool is a kind of foodstuff for a particular type of animal, and even stones are edible for a particular type of animal or bird. But the human being is not meant for eating everything and anything. He is meant to eat grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, sugar, etc. Animal food is not meant for the human being. For chewing solid food, the human being has a particular type of teeth meant for cutting fruits and vegetables. The human being is endowed with two canine teeth as a concession for poor persons who will eat animal food at any cost. It is known to everyone that one man's food is another man's poison. Human beings are expected to accept the remnants of food offered to Lord Sri Krishna, and the Lord accepts foodstuff from the categories of leaves, flowers, fruits, etc. Bhagavad Gita 9:26. As prescribed by Vedic scriptures, no animal food is offered to the Lord. Therefore, a human being is meant to eat a particular type of food. He should not imitate the animals to derive so-called vitamin values. Therefore, a person who has no discrimination in regard to eating is compared to a hog. The camel is a kind of animal that takes pleasure in eating thorns. A person who wants to enjoy family life for the worldly life of so-called enjoyment is compared to the camel. Materialistic life is full of thorns. And so one should live only by the prescribed method of Vedic regulations, just to make the best use of a bad bargain. In the material life, in the material world, is maintained by sucking one's own blood. The central point of attraction for material enjoyment is sex life. To enjoy sex life is to suck one's own blood. And there is not much more to be explained in this connection. The camel also sucks its own blood while chewing thorny twigs. The thorns the camel eats cuts the tongue of the camel, and so blood begins to flow within the camel's mouth. The thorns mixed with fresh blood create a taste for the foolish camel, and so he enjoys the thorn-eating business with false pleasure. Similarly, the great business magnates, industrialists, who work very hard to earn money by different ways and questionable means, eat the thorny results of their actions mixed with their own blood. Therefore, the Bhagavatam has situated these diseased fellows along with the camels. The ass is an animal who is celebrated as the greatest fool. Even amongst the animals, the ass works very hard and carries burdens of the maximum weight without making profit for himself. The ass is generally engaged by the washerman, whose social position is not very respectable. And the special qualification of the ass is that it is very much accustomed to being kicked by the opposite sex. When the ass begs for sexual intercourse, he is kicked by the fair sex, yet he still follows the female for such sexual pleasure. A henpecked man is compared, therefore, to the ass. The general mass of people work very hard, especially in the age of Kali. In this age, the human being is actually engaged in the work of an ass, carrying heavy burdens and driving tela and rickshaws. The so-called advancement of human civilization has engaged a human being in the work of an ass. The laborers in great factories and workshops are also engaged in such burdensome work. And after working hard during the day, the poor laborer has to again be kicked by the fair sex, not only for sex enjoyment, but also for so many household affairs. So, Srimad Bhagavatam's categorization of the common man without any spiritual enlightenment into the society of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses is not at all an exaggeration. The leaders of such ignorant masses of people may feel very proud of being adored by such a number of dogs and hogs, but that is not very flattering. The Bhagavatam openly declares that although a person may be a great leader of such dogs and hogs disguised as men, if he has no taste for being enlightened in the science of Krishna, such a leader is also an animal and nothing more. He may be designated as a powerful, strong animal or a big animal, but in the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is never given a place in the category of man on account of his atheistic temperament. Or, in other words, such godless leaders of dogs and hog-like men are bigger animals with the qualities of animals in greater proportion. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nothing more to say after that. Yes, of course.
आपने जन सामान्य को यदि जीवन के उचित आध्यात्मिक मूल्यों की शिक्षा दी जाती है तो वे पशु से भी अधम हैं और इस श्लोक में उनकी समानता कुत्तों सुकरों ऊंटों और गधों के साथ की गई है। आजकल के विश्वविद्यालय की शिक्षा एक तरह से मनुष्य को कुत्ते की मनोवृत्ति देती है जिससे किसी बड़े मालिक की सेवा की जाए तथाकथित शिक्षा को पूरी कर लेने के बाद तथाकथित शिक्षित व्यक्ति किसी नौकरी के लिए दरवाजे पर कुत्ते के भांति घूमता रहता है और फिर अधिकतर यह कहकर पुरस्कार दिया जाता है कि कोई रिक्त स्थान नहीं है जिस प्रकार कुत्ते उपेक्षित पशु हैं और एक रोटी के टुकड़े के लिए अपने स्वामी की आज्ञा को सेवा करते हैं उसी प्रकार मनुष्य भी पर्याप्त पल पाए बिना स्वामी की आज्ञा का पालन करता है जो लोग खाने के मामले में कोई भेदभाव नहीं करते और सभी प्रकार की सड़ी गली वस्तुएं खाते हैं ये सुअर के समान है सुअर को मल खाना पसंद है इस तरह मल पशु विशेष का प्रिय खाद्य है इसी तरह कुछ पशु या पक्षी पत्थर को भी खा जाते हैं, किंतु मनुष्य सभी तरह की वस्तुएं खाने के लिए नहीं बना है। वह तो अन्न, तरकारी, फल, दूध, चीनी आदि खाने के लिए आया है। पशु आहार मनुष्य के लिए नहीं है। ठोस भोजन चबाने के लिए मनुष्य में विशेष प्रकार के दांत होते हैं जिससे फल और सब्जी काट सकता है। मनुष्य के दो कुकर दांत भी होते हैं जिससे यदि वो चाहे तो पशु भोजन खा सकता है। यह सबों को ज्ञात है कि एक मनुष्य के लिए भोजन होता है तो दूसरे मनुष्य के लिए जहर हो जाता है। मनुष्य से आशा की जाती है कि भगवान श्री कृष्ण को करते भोजन का उच्चिष्ट ग्रहण करेंगे और भगवान पत्र पुष्प फल आदि ग्रहण करते हैं। भगवदगीता 9:26 वैदिक शास्त्रों में बताया गया कि भगवान को कभी पशु आहार अर्पित नहीं करना चाहिए। अतएव मनुष्य विशेष प्रकार का भोजन करने के लिए उसे तथाकथित विटामिनों की महत्ता के लिए पशुओं का अनुकरण नहीं करना चाहिए। अतएव जो व्यक्ति भोजन के मामले में विवेक से काम नहीं लेता वो सुपरहित नहीं है। ऊंट ऐसा पशु है जो कंटीली वस्तुएं खाने से आनंदित होता है। जो व्यक्ति तथाकथित भोग का संसारिक जीवन बिताना चाहता है उसकी तुलना ऊंट से की गई। भौतिकवादी जीवन कांटों से भरा हुआ है। अतः मनुष्य को चाहिए कि वैदिक अनुष्ठान की संस्कृत विधि के अनुसार जीवन का पालन करे। इससे बुरे से बुरे सौदे से लाभ प्राप्त हो सके। भौतिक जगत में अपना काम अपना खून चूस कर पालन पोषण करना होता है। भौतिक भोग का आकर्षण केंद्र विषयी जीवन है। विषयी जीवन का भोग अपना खून चूसना है। इस प्रसंग में अधिक कहने की आवश्यकता नहीं है। ऊंट भी कंटीली टहनिया चबाते समय अपना रक्त चूसता है। ऊंट जिन कंटीली टहनी को खाता है वे उसकी जीभ को काट देती है जिससे मुंह में खून आने लगता है और खून के साथ मिलकर कांटे मूर्ख खून के लिए स्वाद उत्पन्न करते हैं और झूठे आनंद के साथ कांटे खाता है। इस प्रकार बड़े बड़े व्यापारी जो विभिन्न साधनों से धन कमाने के लिए कठोर मेहनत करते हैं वे अपने खून से मिश्रित अपने कर्मों का कंटीला फल खाते हैं। इसलिए भागवत में इन रुग्ण पुरुषों की गणना ऊंटों के साथ की गई है। गधा ऐसा पशु है जो पशुओं में भी सबसे बड़ा मूर्ख माना जाता है। गधा कठिन श्रम करता है और बिना किसी लाभ के भारी से भारी बोझ होता है। सामान्यतः धोबी गधे पर रहता है जिसकी स्वयं की स्थिति सम्मानजनक नहीं होती और गधे की सबसे बड़ी विशेषता यह है कि गधी उस पर सबसे अधिक दुर्गति झाड़ती है। जब गधा मैथुन करना चाहता है तो गधी उसको लाज चलाती है लेकिन फिर भी अतएव स्त्री भक्त मनुष्य की तुलना गधे से की जाती है। जन सामान्य इस कलयुग में विशेष रूप से अत्याधिक श्रम करते हैं वह गधे के कार्य में लगे रहते हैं। हरी भोजा उठ रहे हैं और खेला और रिक्शा चलाते हैं। मानव सभ्यता की तथा कथित विकास ने मनुष्य को गधे के कार्य में लगा रखा है। बड़ी बड़ी फैक्ट्री और सब कारखाने वो व्यक्ति को श्रमिकगण को भारी काम लगाते हैं और दिन भर कठिन श्रम करने के बावजूद बेचारा मजदूर को घर में लगे उस काम सुख के लिए अपेतु अनेक घरेलू कार्य के लिए स्त्री की लाज खानी पड़ती है। अतः वो श्रीमद भागवत द्वारा आध्यात्मिक प्रकाश के बिना कुकर सुकर ऊंट और गधे की श्रेणी में माना गया है। भले ही ऐसे अज्ञानी जन समूह के नेता तमाम शुक्रों द्वारा पूजित होने के गर्वित हो सम्मान नहीं है। भागवत तो खुला घोषित करती है कोई भी व्यक्ति भले ही वो कुकर के रेश में क्यों न हो किंतु यदि कृष्ण के विज्ञान से प्रकाशित होने में अभिरुचि नहीं रखता तो ऐसे व्यक्ति पशु कहते और कुछ नहीं है। शक्तिशाली प्रबल पशु या विशाल पशु कहा जा सकता है किंतु श्रीमद् भागवत के अनुसार उसे अपने नास्तिकवादी स्वभाव के कारण मनुष्य की कोठी में कभी नहीं रखा जा सकता। अथवा दूसरे शब्दों में कुकर जैसे व्यक्ति के ईश्वर विहीन नेता पशु से भी बढ़कर है जिनमें पार्श्विक गुण का अनुपात है।
ॐ अज्ञानधिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायां ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजाताम् सहगना रघुनाथान्वितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् हरिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदाम् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नित्यनाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनाबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च सिन्धुभ्य एव च हरिभ्यानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. In this most wonderful and graphic purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, he summarizes the condition of human civilization. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tad tad evetaro jana sayat puramanam kudute lokas tad anuvaratate. What the great men do, the common men follow. Whatever standards they set by their exemplary acts, the world will pursue. In the world today, because of the influence of material energy so strongly imprisoning people's minds with the desire for material enjoyment, the more one can enjoy their senses, the more they are praised by the common man. The tide of the current of the river of material existence naturally flows toward unrestricted sense gratification. And the animals, they have no conception of any reason why to restrain their senses from their natural desires for enjoyment. Mataji is a professor of zoology, so she knows very much detail the nature of animal life. Whatever their instincts, they just follow their senses. Human life is meant for tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. Tapasya means to actually say no, to go against the natural flow of material nature. To go against the inclinations of one's mind and senses. To follow the senses, to serve the senses, is considered to be something very wonderful in this world. Amongst men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, those who have the greatest proficiency in enjoying their senses are considered to be the greatest leaders of society. Prahlad said, when the blind lead the blind, they all together fall into the ditch and suffer. Therefore, there is a great need for leadership in this world. Leadership of those persons who are willing to perform the tapasya of giving up their own selfish interests for the higher purpose of leading people on the path of true dharma. But even people who are in the guise of so-called religious leaders are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, just in religious garb. For this reason, human existence is practically in a hopeless situation. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada told us that the most important duty of this Krishna consciousness movement is to train a class of first-class men and women who could actually be leaders within society. By their words and by their example. This is the only means by which there is hope that human beings can fulfill the aim of their life. It is explained here that the general mass, they are systematically trained to be no better than animals. So-called modern education, Srila Prabhupada explains, makes you into a dog. You go to college, university, work so hard for so many years, and then you have to go begging door to door for some scraps of bread. In the Vedic civilization, dignity is given to a person's life. The Brahmin, the Kshatriya, and the Vaishya are never to be employed by anyone. They are meant to be self-employed by their own creative intelligence. They are able to maintain their livelihood and offer great services to society. The only person who works under another is the Shudra. And that Shudra is meant to be completely faithful to one employer throughout his whole life. And that's actually a great virtue. And the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas are meant to care for their employees like a father for his own children. In this way, everyone in society is satisfied. No one is exploiting the others. But when this system of varnashram is forgotten or perverted, then everyone in society is in anxiety. And we see on the worldwide level, here in India we have Brahmanism, and there is a form of Brahmanism in all the various countries of the world, where the priests, they claim an exclusive position higher than everybody else, by which no one can have the grace of God, no one can be forgiven from sins unless they pay them money for them to perform some puja or ritual. We know that this mentality amongst the Brahmins has practically destroyed Vedic civilization. But in the Western world, it's practically destroyed religion also. The Catholic Church at one time was the one church of Christianity. But the priests became like Smartha Brahmins. If anyone committed any type of sin, they had to pay them good money to offer prayers, and otherwise there was no way that they could be redeemed from their sin, and they would have to go to hell for the rest of eternity. Very good business. Just think, if you commit any sin, you will go to hell forever unless you pay the priest to do some prayer for you. And who in this world never sins, especially in the Western world? And no one was allowed to even open the scriptures of the Western world except the priests. You had to learn from them. And they would teach you exactly what would make the best money for them. And they'd make you very much afraid. So, the East, the West, this conception of Brahmanism has become such a disturbance that because of that, the whole Protestant church began. Now most Christians in the West are Protestants. Lutherans, Calvinists, Methodists, Baptists, there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of denominations in the Protestant church. And do you know what the word Protestant means?
It
means Protestant. It means they protesting against the Catholic Church because of these Smartha Brahmin priests. And it is still going on. So this is how the Brahmins are trying to exploit everyone. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita what are the symptoms of a Brahmin. He's simple. He's pure in heart. He's completely honest and truthful. He's self-controlled. He's compassionate to other living beings. And a Brahmin is not supposed to, in any way, be concerned with money or wealth. He's supposed to live the most simple and austere life so that people trust that he's not after anything from them. He's only giving. And then you have the Kshatriyas. You have governments that are dictatorships, where the Kshatriyas just want to exploit everyone. Usually what they do is they kill the Brahmins. Except for those who just say, teach the people what the Kshatriyas want them to say. And everyone else is their slaves. They tax. They just kill whoever doesn't agree with them, and they enslave everyone else. In the Western world, we see people like Napoleon, Hitler. They were dictators. The Kshatriyas wanted all power to exploit everyone. Just like the Brahmins wanted all powers to exploit everyone. And then you have capitalism. Capitalism is when the Vaishyas want to take over the world. They want to control everything. The capitalists are the Vaishyas, who industrialists, big money makers. They money talks, nobody walks. If you have enough money, you can buy everything. In the Western civilization, it's literally capitalist because all the politicians are simply paid by the rich people to make laws, to execute laws, to do anything. Just like there was a president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, and he was a capitalist. He was a farm, peanut farmer, Vaishya. He became president. Not a Kshatriya, he was a businessman. And at one time, the Vegetarian Society of America arranged that one day, one evening, there would be a vegetarian dinner in the White House. Sounds nice. But it wasn't like that. Because what happened is the meat packers, the owners of big slaughterhouses who make billions of dollars every year killing animals, they approached President Carter and said, listen, we're giving you so much money. If you endorse vegetarianism, people may become vegetarians. They will stop eating our meat. Therefore, we will withdraw our funds to you and our donations to you. In other words, our payoffs to you if you have this vegetarian dinner. So he canceled it. And the whole Vietnam War had nothing to do with anything but big capitalist Vaishyas who were making huge amounts of money. They wanted to build bombs and tanks and guns. And by doing so, they were becoming very rich, and they were the ones who were paying the politicians to continue the war. And of course, here in India, there's not even need for explanation. Practically every politician is willing to take some bribe from some rich person, and in this way they are controlled. So in this way, capitalism is where the Vaishyas completely take control and exploit all the other classes of men because of their big money. And then we have communism. Communism is when the Sudras want to take over the world. And we see in Communist Party what the Shudras do. They just go crazy. In Russia, the Communist Revolution, they just, the common working class of people, they just went in and they killed the Tsar, who was the Kshatriya in charge. They killed the Brahmins who were preaching anything against what they wanted, and they were killing all the rich people who had lots of money and who were employing them because they wanted control. Communism is when the Shudras want to control the world and exploit all other classes. Because, you see, no matter what anyone does, human civilization will be divided into these four varnas. According to the modes of material nature, some people are meant to be proper Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. The Varnashram system established by Krishna is giving each person with their particular propensities rules by which they must live by so that they could be in harmony with all other classes of men and women. And without this Varnashram system, human life is nothing more than animals. Everyone is simply fighting and competing with one another for control, power. Why? So that they can enjoy unrestricted sense gratification. And this is the condition of this world. But in the Varnashram system, if we live according to Bhagavad Gita's teachings, every class is not only in loving harmony with all other classes, but everyone is happy and is progressing toward the ultimate goal of life. Because they are all acting according to the aim of human life, which is self-realization or Krishna consciousness. So this is very important. And the only way that this could possibly be understood in society is if there are leaders, especially Brahmins, who are teaching the proper understanding of human civilization. And this is the purpose of our temple. To somehow or other instill in people's hearts the understanding that human life is not meant for exploitation but for tapasya. For putting aside our own selfish interests for the pleasure of Krishna. For the service of God. The animals, they do not cause a problem within this world. And actually, the animals are necessary for the proper ecology of the world. But when humans take on animalistic propensities, they cause havoc in the world. Every little child naturally loves animals. Their toys are usually animals. Cartoons are usually animals. They like pets, for animal pets. But in this degraded society, we are, even children are taught to eat the very object of their love. In the Western civilization, there's practically no such thing as vegetarianism until Srila Prabhupada came. In this way, people are training their children to have no sympathy for even the objects of their love. And through this process, they become so hard-hearted that they become like animals, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Srila Prabhupada explains so nicely how humans are becoming like animals. There's nothing else that can be said except that we should take to Krishna consciousness and transcend the influences that are all around us. And this is what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially came to deliver to the world. The means by which we can all be leaders of human society toward self-realization. Therefore, we follow these four regulative principles. And we accept leadership from a person or persons who are genuinely representing the truth. In human civilization, everyone must follow. The spiritual masters must be humble servants of their spiritual masters in disciplic succession. The Kshatriyas always follow the dictations of the Brahmins, of such spiritual masters. The working class, the Vaishya class, they also follow the dictations of the saintly people, and they follow the laws which the Kshatriyas ordain according to the instructions of the saintly people. In this way, human life, everyone is dependent and subordinate. No one acts whimsically according to their own idea. So this is the greatest need in the world, to establish authority and to teach people how to submit to authority. But it must be real authority, the authority of God or Krishna, based on Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish this Guru Parampara by following these four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, by learning to be the servant of the servant of the servant. We can counteract the effects of all of these animalistic propensities, and we can individually and collectively march forward toward real peace and happiness.
इस तरह से चार नियमों का पालन करने से और फिर भगवान का नाम जप करने से, भक्तों का संग करने से हम जो है न केवल अकेले बल्कि साथ में जो है प्रगति कर सकते हैं.
So what is the responsibility that we have in Lord Chaitanya's mission?
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu के जो मिशन है उसमें हमारी क्या जिम्मेदारी है?
This must be taken very seriously.
इसको बहुत गंभीरता से स्वीकार करना चाहिए.
Because whether we believe it or not, the world is very much depending on the devotees to set the proper standard by which they could follow. There is so much chaos in society. We have already explained in some detail how every class of people are trying to exploit everyone else. And the common people are simply frustrated. They're tired of conflict. There's conflict within homes, there's conflicts between nations, there's conflicts between castes, there's conflicts between religions, there's conflicts everywhere. People are looking for harmony and peace and love and some direction in life. If we want people to accept the great mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we must display to human society such peace and harmony amongst ourselves. Although there is individuality within Krishna consciousness, and we all have our own nature and our own tendencies, it is not that when we come to Krishna consciousness we all become one. We will all think differently and act differently, but it should be within the guidelines of Krishna consciousness. And as Vaishnavas, we must honor and respect individuals' particular natures and individuals' particular levels of spiritual progress. We must show an alternative to the exploitation of this world. In this world, poor people are beaten down by rich people. In Krishna consciousness, we have no concern with a person's income. We honor and respect a person because of his faith, devotion, and humility. In material society, women are exploited and denied rights because of their weaker physical nature. In Krishna consciousness, we are taught to honor every woman, especially devotee woman, as a holy mother. And give them great respect. And give them complete facility and freedom to advance in spiritual life. In materialistic society, a person who is educated is always looking down upon those who are not educated. But in Krishna conscious society, we understand that the highest education is to be convinced to take to the process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Sincerely chants the holy names, we honor them as the greatest scholar. In materialistic society, there is low caste and high caste. There is Malekshas and Yavanas because they're born in other places. But in Krishna conscious society, anyone who is a Vaishnava, anyone who is chanting the name of the Lord and serving the Lord, is considered better than a Brahmin, is considered most exalted. And worst of all, in materialistic society, those who are on a so-called equal status in society, they're always fiercely fighting and competing with one another to see who could get more prestige. But in Krishna conscious society, we only have one aim, and that is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And we hate prestige. We don't hate it for others, we hate it for ourselves. Mahaprabhu taught us, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tadorapi Sahishna, Manana Manadena Kirtanisa. To be more humble than the blade of grass. To be more tolerant than a tree. To offer all respect to others. I will repeat that. To offer all respect to others. And to expect no respect for oneself. To expect no respect for oneself. In this way, we can properly chant the holy names of the Lord.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna!
To the degree we can develop these relationships with one another, to that degree we could be really a part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and through his representatives, the six Goswamis, and then later on, of course, Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta. They have given us such a perfect and complete philosophy that can transform the whole world. They have given us the most powerful weapon in all of creation, the holy name of Krishna. And the world is in great need of this. In fact, according to Shastra, Lord Chaitanya gave us the Yuga Dharma. It is the only medicine that can cure the disease condition of this world. And by some strange, inconceivable reason, the few of us have been given custody of the Yuga Dharma to distribute to the rest of the world. And yet, we're so busy quarreling amongst each other over petty little stupid things that we don't mind letting the world go to hell. It's like, I'm going to make a gross analogy, with your permission. If someone is hit by an automobile, and he's in critical condition, about to die. His body's all broken up in so many pieces. And his heart is not working right, and his lungs are not working right. And they bring him to the hospital. And it's an emergency. If he doesn't get an immediate operation, very well done, he will die. So the surgeons and the nurse, they come into the operating room. And the person is just depending on them. Depending on And then the doctors start arguing who's going to do what part of the operation. And then the nurse starts arguing, why aren't you nice to me? I'm not going to clean your utensils. And one doctor says, we should use this medical instrument. And the other doctor says, no, this one. And in this way, they're all fighting. So what happens to the person? He dies. Arivo.
Arivo!
Why are you saying Arivo? We're supposed to say Haribo when the doctors finally decide to work together and save the man. Haribo!
Haribo!
That's very good. So that is the condition. The world is like that man who's just been hit by the car of Kali Yuga, and everything is just dismantled. It's an emergency crisis condition. And by Krishna's arrangement, we have the medicine and we have the knowledge to perform the surgery. But we're so busy finding faults with each other. We're so busy seeing faults in one another. We're so busy with our own idea of how things should be done. But everybody has their own idea how things should be done. But if we don't work together, we cannot perform the surgery. And while we're just involved in our petty little disagreements, the whole world is suffering and gliding deeper and deeper into the depths of ignorance. So if we understand the sincerity of what our Guru Parampara has given us, we will not have time for such. And if someone goes to a hospital and sees that the doctors and nurses are not even on speaking terms with one another, well, they want to lay their life down in your hands? Similarly, people are frustrated. If they come and see that Krishna consciousness works, that there's harmony, there's peace, there's love, there's cooperation amongst devotees, people will think, yes, I trust them. This is what I want. I will hear what they say. But if they see that we have our own petty little conflicts, then they'll think, what is the difference between this and my family? What is the difference between this and everything I'm reading about in the newspapers? So we have a great responsibility to cooperate with one another. And the only way we could cooperate in this age of Kali is to take Lord Chaitanya's golden rule to heart. To be more humble than a blade of grass. To be more tolerant than the tree. To offer all respect to others. To expect no respect for oneself. And in this way, to chant the name of the Lord always. If we strive to live by this most important of all instructions, we can live together peacefully. And in that peaceful coexistence, we can work together to do great, great things for this world. This is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Only Lord Chaitanya's mercy can protect us from that quarrel and hypocrisy. His mercy is fully contained in this verse. If we follow it, we will be protected from all the age of Kali. Srila Prabhupada used to say, united we stand, divided we fall. The Yuga Dharma is Sankirtan. San, the word San comes from the word Samyak, which means together. To perform kirtan together is the process that will counteract the effects of age of Kali. And it is through this most merciful process of Sankirtan that the animalistic civilization of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses can become first-class Vaishnav human beings. So after reading Prabhupada's wonderful description of how people are living like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, we should become very serious to rescue such unfortunate, suffering souls. And this will be done by each of us if we live according to the strict principles of Krishna consciousness in our own personal lives. By following the principles and regularly chanting the holy names. And by lovingly honoring, respecting, and cooperating with each devotee in the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Putting aside our own monetary considerations of life, putting aside all of our own social considerations in life, putting aside our own considerations for prestige in life, and just learning how to be the servant of the devotees. Just learning how to somehow or other cooperate so that we can together chant the glories of the holy names and make the temple a haven where people, where all of these animals can come and find real life in the Sankirtan of the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare!
Radha Gokulananda, Krishna is playing upon his flute, inviting the whole world to come to this temple to receive his beauty, his love, and his grace. Srimati Radharani is standing so beautiful and graciously, ready to offer our hearts at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they are standing with their arms raised, inviting the whole world to join their kirtan. Mission in life as residents or congregational members of Radha Gokulananda Mandir is to create such an atmosphere in this temple that everyone will come and dance with Gornitai. To make such a beautiful, wonderful, harmonious atmosphere in this temple that all of these dogs, hogs, camels, and asses will come to dance to the kirtan of the holy name and thus allow Sri Radharani to offer their lives and their hearts at the lotus feet of Sri Gokulananda.